Well, hello there again. Bernie Miklas with you with another video here on my Bernie Miklas Show YouTube channel. Took me a while to get this one ready today. I did a lot of research. Not that I'm begging for compliments or anything. No, it took a long time to kind of go through all this, but I enjoy doing it. I'm kind of goofy in the head that way. And I always try to come up with some really hopefully helpful and interesting information for you. I run my mouth a lot, but I like to add some substance to that, right? Today, I want to talk about, and I'm wearing my Bob Gibson signature cap. I really love these signature caps. I want to get more of them. There's a Lou Brock number 20. There's an Ozzie Smith number 1. Can't find a Stan Musial. I would assume they would have had one for him, but not really. But anyway, I like it. It's a good clean look. So I want to talk about starting pitcher today for the St. Louis Cardinals. So why not put this on, and it can serve as a tribute to the greatest starting pitcher in Cardinals history, right? Bob Gibson. But where I'm going to go with this, and I'm about to plunge in, where I'm going to go with this is just kind of review how the starting pitching with the Cardinals, it was a strength for a long time, as we've talked about, and then it became a real burden, a real weakness. One of the factors why, an important factor why they have not been winning as much, especially once they get into the postseason. And so there's a pretty stark contrast. And the contrast would be, I'm going to lay it out to you this way. Look at the high level pitching the Cardinals had with starting pitchers brought into the organization by one way or another, brought into the organization by Walt Jocketty. He needs no introduction, right? A great Cardinals general manager who I think well past due for him to be in the Cardinals Hall of Fame. I'm going to do another video on that soon, I promise, because it's as the years go by, it's just inexplicable to me that he is not in the Cardinals Hall of Fame. And by the way, schlubs like me have nothing to do with that. Jocketty would have to come in into the Hall of Fame as a member of the contributors category. That is chosen by ownership. So don't blame the media for that oversight. Anyway, I'm going to contrast all of the excellent starting pitching the Cardinals had for a long time. And even after Jocketty was fired, a lot of that pitching stayed in place for a good while after that. So the point is, because of the Walt Jocketty's really, really, really good maneuvers in getting starting pitching, you know, the Cardinals had a big, big, big boost in terms of sustained success. And I'll break it down for you. And then, not so much success, in the last 10 years under John Mozeliak, who's the head of the baseball operation, who succeeded Jocketty after Jocketty was fired following the 2007 season. And a big reason why the Cardinals have not been a consistent winner and why they've, you know, if you start from 2016, you know, they've missed the playoffs 5 times more than they've made the playoffs 4 times. And a big factor in that is the fact that starting pitching hasn't held up and they don't have those ace-like hurlers that I think were pretty routine or, you know, pretty much commonplace during Walt Jocketty's time when he was bringing a lot of these guys in. So let me just break down. Let's just get into it right now. How to give you that intro. From 2000 through 2014, and there's another guy in there that came before that. I'll get to him too. I didn't forget about him. Andy Bennis, but I'll mention him later. From 2000 through 2014, that's 15 seasons of ball, 5 St. Louis Cardinals starting pitchers received Cy Young votes. Daryl Kyle, Matt Morris, Chris Carpenter, Adam Wainwright, and Kyle Loesch. Those five guys received a total of 729 Cy Young voting points because depending on where you finish, you know, you finish in the ballot, there's a point total assigned to that spot on the ballot. So you add it all up. Those five guys, between 2000 and 2014, those five guys accumulated 729 Cy Young voting points. That's a lot. Adam Wainwright has the most Cy Young voting points during that time, those 15 season, 398. And 395 of those came from between 2009 and 2014. In 2021, he had a good season for the Cardinals, and he finished down ballot, but he got three Cy Young voting points. So Chris Carpenter had 289 voting points, but in 2005, he became the first St. Louis starter to win a National League Cy Young Award since Bob Gibson, tip of the cap, in 1970. From 2000 through 2014, the Cardinals had eight top three finishes in the Cy Young balloting, including Carpenter's first place outcome in 2005. But Carpenter also finished second in the voting one time, third in the voting another time. Wainwright had a lot of close results near the top of the ballot, and that should be recognized, even though he didn't win a world, he didn't win a Cy Young, because we're going to talk about this again. You know, from 2009 through 2014, that was a six-season stretch. Wainwright had two second-place finishes and two third-place outcomes. That adds up to four top three finishes by Waino in six seasons. And he probably would have had, he could have collected more Cy Young votes. The only two seasons where he didn't get Cy Young votes, well, he was injured. He blew out his elbow before 2011, and he made only four starts early in 2015 before he ruptured his Achilles tendon. So when he was healthy, he was either second or third in the voting, you know, from 2009 through 2014. I mean, that's really, really impressive. Anyway, and this is where I pause to praise Walt Jocketty again for his substantial franchise-changing role in assembling all of this starting pitching talent. And I'm going to give you the background on you know, how he did this, okay? As the Cards GM, Walt Jocketty, he drafted Matt Morris, who is now a Cardinal Hall of Famer, someone who finished third in the Cy Young voting back in 2001. Jocketty traded for Wainwright, who was a 21-year-old Atlanta prospect that had only pitched as high as Double-A in the Braves system. And by 2006, a couple years after that, he had developed into a good rookie reliever who became an amazing rookie closer after Jason Isringhausen got hurt. And Wainwright, you don't need me to remind you this, he played a starring role. He played a huge role in the Cardinals' first World Series title since 1982. He froze Beltran with the curveball. See you later, Shea Stadium, right? Put the Cardinals in the World Series. All right, Jocketty also traded for the late Darryl Kyle, who came to Colorado from Colorado, and he received one first-place Cy Young vote in 2000, his first season in St. Louis. Jocketty also signed Kyle Loesch, who in 2012, collected some down-ballot votes in 2012 after going 16-3 with a 2.86 ERA. He also won that 2012 wild card game beating Atlanta. The one that's maybe my favorite, I think it is my favorite, with no disrespect to the other pitchers, Jocketty took a low-risk gamble on Chris Carpenter, and it paid off in a huge way. Carpenter had formidable stuff for Toronto. He was viewed as a future ace. It was him and Roy Halladay there together. But Carpenter was still maturing as a pitcher, that he started to develop shoulder problems, and he flamed out with the Blue Jays. Jocketty, a really smart move, he signed Carpenter to a minimum contract, the lowest you could pay a guy, a major league contract, $300,000 back then. This was before the 2003 season. But Carpenter did not pitch at all in 2003. And I remember, you know, me being the smart guy, right? Let me roll my eyes. Something like that. I remember talking to Walt. I said, well, you know, why would you sign him if he's not pitching for you in 2003? You know, do you feel like, you know, this was kind of a lost cause deal? You just wanted to take a look? And Walt shot me a look, almost like smirking at me, which he should have. And he said, well, we signed him because we think if he can rehab that shoulder and strengthen it, we could have one hell of a starting pitcher. So it was worth the risk. And if you look back on it, I said, okay, I get it now. If you look back on it, to sign him for $300,000, who cares if he took a year off to rehab? Because in 2004, even though Carpenter got hurt late in the season and couldn't pitch in the postseason, Chris Carpenter was lights out in 2004 for the National League championship team, the first NL pennant for the Cardinals since the Whitey Ball days. Anyway, Carpenter didn't pitch at all because Jocketty was very smart. He's playing the long game, making a $300,000 gamble, and it worked. What a great decision by Walt Jocketty. And before I forget, this brings us back to Andy Benes. You know, one of Jocketty's first moves in free agency to land a starting pitcher happened before the 1996 season when Bill DeWitt and the new ownership said, yeah, go for it. Let's do that. When Jocketty signed Andy Benes, and that one paid off immediately because Benes finished third in the 1996 Cy Young voting, which was good for 9 Cy Young points. In the format at the time. Benes was a big reason why the Cardinals won the 1996 Central Division title in Tony La Russa's first year as manager here. So if we add Benes to the list, the guys that I just mentioned, that would be 9 top 3 finishes in the Cy Young balloting by pitchers procured by Walt Jocketty. 9 top 3 finishes, and Benes on the list would increase the Cy Young points total to 748 points by Cardinals starting pitchers procured by Jocketty. Now, as we know, Jocketty was fired after the 2007 season because of a rift created when Bill DeWitt Jr. hired Jeff Luhnow, who was coming in from the non-baseball world, but he was an analytics. He was a data expert. At first, no one understood it, but it paid off very, very well for the Cardinals because Luhnow gave the Cardinals a big advantage at the time. They're way ahead of the curve in analytics and using data to get a competitive advantage. And he also put in a really good draft and development system. But anyway, Jocketty resented the fact that Luhnow was there, and Jocketty, in effect, lost some authority. I understood why Bill DeWitt, after talking to him about 2.5-3 hours one day about the Luhnow hiring, which had everyone puzzled, I understood completely why Bill DeWitt brought him in. But I also sat back and waited. Okay, well, let's see how this works. But I do understand your reasoning. I also understand why Jocketty was frustrated, why he was angry, why he boiled over to the point where Bill DeWitt said, well, we just can't have this infighting. And he chose Luhnow. I think he would have been thrilled to have both of them stay, but it wasn't going to work out. And then that's when Bill DeWitt Jr. hired John Mozeliak to move up from assistant GM. But that only came after DeWitt tried to hire Chris Antonetti, who was the number two guy in Cleveland at the time, who's now been their long-running and very successful president of baseball operations. So anyway, Luhnow did turn the Cardinals farm system into a formidable machine that graduated many a player to the big league club to help keep the Cardinals winning long after Walt Jocketty made his exit. Though Jocketty was gone, the Cardinals' success kept going with major assistance from not only starting pitchers, but also position players. We're only talking about starting pitchers today, though, from starting pitchers and position players that he brought to St. Louis. And as general manager, the young John Mozeliak benefited from Jocketty's lasting impact, his legacy. There's no question about that. You know, and that carried all the way through 2022, which was Adam Wainwright's last good season as a major league starting pitcher. He had that forgettable 23 season with a 7.04 ERA before he retired. But he did have that one unforgettable start to get career victory number 200, which was probably the highlight of the 2023 season for the Cardinals. So anyway, though Jockety was gone, the success kept rolling, and in part because of people that were still there because he brought them there. I'm talking about starting pitchers. And the truth is, you don't need me to tell you this, but I'm reaffirming it and adding some facts to it to back it up. The Cardinals have lost their touch in a vitally important task of developing starting pitching. I mean, the Cardinals have done very well in building an assembly line of relievers over the years under Jockety and under Mozeliak, with Jeff Luno's acumen in there as well. And I don't want to name all the relievers. We can do that some other time. But there have been a lot of good relievers, and there's been some flops. But for the most part, Cardinals have done very well in terms of cultivating a bullpen, building a bullpen. Mozeliak has not been able to match Jockety's touch in drafting, acquiring, and cultivating starting pitching. He's not even close, really, not even in the same hemisphere. To repeat, the Cardinals have had nine top three finishes in Cy Young voting by starting pitchers that entered the organization during Jockety's time in office. And that Cy Young voting points total for Jockety's guys was 748. Now, let's look at Mozeliak's record beginning in 2015. Over the last 10 seasons, the Cardinals starting pitchers brought to St. Louis during Mozeliak's time running the head office have accumulated only 83 Cy Young voting points, 83. And 69 of the 83 were attributed to Jack Flaherty because of his fourth place finish in the 2019 Cy Young voting. The other two Cardinal starters, added by Mozeliak, got Cy Young votes. John Lackey, who finished ninth in 2015, he got one Cy Young point out of that. And Miles Michaelis, who was very good in 2018 after Mozeliak signed him out of, was he in Japan at that time? I think he was. He signed him out of, you know, from, I think the Japanese major league, if it was Korea, forgive me. I forgot the origin of that. I apologize. But anyway, Michaelis was really good in 2018. He was fifth in the Cy Young voting, and he came away with 13 Cy Young voting points. Here's another way to look at it if we want to kind of sum up the tote board. Walt Jockety, his starting pitchers that he brought in, 748 Cy Young voting points, 44 first place Cy Young votes in the balloting, 44 first place votes, 9 top three finishes in the voting for Cy Young, and the only Cy Young award won by a Cardinal since Mr. 45, Bob Gibson, in 1970. The starting pitchers brought in one way or the other by John Mozeliak, 83 Cy Young voting points. So that's 748 Cy Young voting points to 83. Boy, what a... Jockety got him by a whisker, huh? That was close. 748 Cy Young voting points to 83. No first place votes in Cy Young balloting by pitchers who came in under Mozeliak. No top three finishes in the voting. Yes, the cost of starting pitching has gone up since Jockety's time as general manager, and that gave Walt an advantage because you didn't have to necessarily break the bank to get an elite starter. It is different now. The cost of pitching has gone up and up and up and up and up. But the problem there is Mozeliak, when he was given the green light to spend some money, you know, he whiffed one time. Just the most prominent example, he whiffed one time that $80 million free agent signing of starting pitcher Mike Leake. And the Cardinals had to trade Leake to get him out of here, and they ate some of his contract just to get him out of here. And also, the Cardinals under John Mozeliak's watch, although Bill DeWitt had a lot to say about this, famously passed up on a chance to sign Max Scherzer when he was available as a free agent after the 2014 season and was leaving Detroit. And Max wanted to pitch here in his hometown. And then on the other hand, because I am trying to be fair here, okay, Mosalak was responsible. His regime was responsible for drafting Michael Wacha in 2012, and the Cardinals wouldn't have won the 2013 National League pennant without Wacha, who's still pitching well for the Kansas City Royals. But he did have that chronic shoulder blade condition that set him back for a few years. And it's also important to note, because I'm trying to be fair. Oh no, I can't be fair to Mo, right? Oh no. Ernie, you need to stop these videos where you praise John Mozeliak. You're going to lose all your subscribers. I'm only kidding, folks. It's important to mention that they're not here yet, but the Cardinals seemingly have some talented young starting pitchers on the way. Quinn Matthews, Baseball America's minor league pitcher of the year last year, and 24 season. He's the real deal, or so it seems. Tank Hentz, Michael McGreevy, perhaps Tekoa Roby, who they got in the Texas deal when they sent Jordan Montgomery there. I could mention a few others, but you get the point. Another bottom line, from 2000 through 2014, the Jackety cultivated starting pitching was a prominent staple in St. Louis's success. The Cardinals ranked number one in the majors in regular season wins, number one in the majors in postseason wins. They competed in more postseason games than any other team over those 15 seasons, and they were fourth in the majors in starting pitcher ERA. And guys that he brought in as starting pitchers, as I mentioned, they continued to contribute to the Cardinals for as many as 15 years, talking about Wainwright, after Jackety's departure. So it was a lasting legacy. And that's why, again, I'm going to do another thing on this, but, you know, I'm going to just say one more time in this video, Jackety should be in the Cardinals Hall of Fame. He just has to be. And I'll get after that a little more in an upcoming video. Anyway, now let's go back to Mozeliak. The last 10 seasons, the Cardinals are seventh in regular season winning percentage. A lot of that has to do with the 2015, they won 100 games, won the Central that year. That's good, but it isn't number one the way the Cardinals were from 2000 and 2014 in terms of winning percentage, number one in the majors. Still, number seven since 2015 is not bad. It's just not up to the highest Cardinal standard that had been in place for a long time. And over these last 10 years, the Cardinals rank 18th in the majors with only five postseason wins. That is a huge difference between the Jackety era and the current era, regime era, whatever. Overall, the Cardinals starting pitching through this, the 10 years, if you look at the 10-year ERA, it's fine. It's fine. But it has lacked high-impact aces, guys that can just change the season, guys that you can give the ball to for big spots, right? There hasn't been another current-time version of Carpenter, Wainwright, Morris, or Kyle, or even Andy Benes. This is one of the reasons why I'm so positive about the arrival of Chaim Bloom, who takes over, who's in charge of rebuilding the Cardinals' decrepit minor league player development system. It's totally outdated. And Bloom will take over as the president of baseball operation starting after the 25 season. But that's why I'm so excited about Chaim Bloom and the guy he hired first, the new farm director, Rob Serfulio. You know why? These smart guys received a masterclass education in developing pitching from their time at Tampa Bay and their time in Cleveland. Bloom is in Tampa Bay. Serfulio was in Cleveland, pardon me, but you got what I meant, but I wanted to clarify that. And those two organizations are about as good as it gets, just about as good as anyone in the majors at drafting, developing, cultivating, starting pitching. And you want to, if you doubt that, I can only hear it now, but did they win a World Series, Bernie? I didn't see them win a World Series, so why should I care about that? Cuckoo. Cuckoo. Over the last 10 seasons, Tampa Bay ranks third among the 30 MLB teams in starting pitcher ERA, the 28th ranked payroll all those years, average. Third best starting pitching ERA among the 30 major league teams. And Cleveland, fifth out of 30 teams in starting pitching ERA over the last 10 seasons. Well, Bernie, the Cardinals, why do you say they should emulate Tampa Bay and Cleveland? They haven't won World Series. Anyway, the Cardinals, as we mentioned, haven't had a Cy Young Award winner since Carpenter in 2005. Now, here's the kicker. Not only Tampa Bay third in ERA, starting pitchers over the last 10 seasons, Cleveland's fifth, okay? Cardinals haven't had a Cy Young Award winner since Carpenter in 2005. But in the ensuing years after 2005, Cleveland and Tampa Bay have combined to produce not one, not two, not three, not four, not five, but six Cy Young Award winners, okay? Six. David Price, Blake Snell, CC Sabathia, Cliff Lee, Corey Kluber, and Shane Bieber. And I know I'm being insufferable now. Give the big fella a break, okay? I heard from one of them last night. I heard from another one this morning on social media. There are still people out there telling me that the Cardinals have no reason to emulate Cleveland or Tampa Bay. Well, I guess they have the point. Cardinals don't need no top five starting rotation. They don't need all them Cy Young Award winners up in here. Right? What do they need that for? Pardon my sarcasm. I apologize. I couldn't help myself. Sometimes this is how I kind of stretch my legs. I got to do it sometime. But it is. Because that's, again, we're getting back to the main thing here. Under Jocketty and his ability to procure and cultivate starting pitching at a high level, award winners, top three Cy Young finishers, Hall of Famers, team Hall of Famers, all that postseason success. I mean, Chris Carpenter won 10 postseason games, for example. As I've said on these videos so many times, and I'm just going to keep preaching about this because until everybody, it's an impossible dream of mine, but it's until everybody understands this. And most of you do. And I appreciate that and respect you very much. But the Cardinals, for the longest time, their strength was cultivating, developing, starting pitching. And it was one of the main ingredients for their success. And during the decline here, and again, the last nine seasons, the Cardinals have missed the playoffs five times, more than they've made the playoffs four times, and they don't really win in the postseason. It's because they're always scrambling to add starting pitching because they can't develop their own, not in a way that lasts or sticks, right? So that's why it was so important for Bill DeWitt to do what he did and bring Heim Bloom in here. And for Heim Bloom, one of the reasons you bring him in here, because he knows where all the smart people are, which is why his first hire was Rob Serfolio out of Yale, who pitched for John Stuper, the former Cardinals at Yale, but also part of that great operation in Cleveland that really knows pitching. That's just as Tampa Bay knows pitching. So the Cardinals are going to get back to what they need to do best and what they always used to do best until this last 10 years or so. And it's got to add some offense as well. We know that. But anyway, once again, pardon my sarcasm. It is therapy for me. I will be back either later today, or probably tomorrow morning with another video. But there'll be a bonus video in here at some point where I'm going to pick the winners of the college football semifinals, where you got Notre Dame and Penn State on Thursday and Ohio State and Texas on Friday. You all have a wonderful day. Thanks for watching.